Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're taking a look at what God says to the person that has walked away from Him. The message is called The Call to Return, so let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 55 as we go back to basics.
Listen, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Down in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here in the verses before us, we have one of the most amazingly gracious offers in all of Scripture. The Lord is calling people who have forsaken Him for other pursuits, even those who have turned to wickedness and unrighteousness, to return to Him for pardon and blessing. God's heart for those who are away from Him is first and foremost reconciliation and restoration. That's what we're being told in the text here. But we were reminded of this as well in the story that Jesus told. You remember the story of the prodigal son. And there we see this father who is daily waiting, hoping, longing for his son to return. And of course, that story that Jesus told was a picture of God himself, there with outstretched arms, longingly waiting for those that have strayed to come home. One of the things we learn from God's relationship with Israel, which is the context of Isaiah's prophecy, is his reluctance to judge and his preference for mercy. Over and over, as we go through the long history of God's dealing with the people of Israel, over and over, we find him pleading with them. Over and over, he's seeking to reason with them. As a matter of fact, in the early chapters of Isaiah, the first chapter, the Lord calls out to the people, come, let us reason together. And he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God's always seeking to reason with people, to persuade them, to bring them back. Over and over again, he invites them to return, and that's what we see in the passages here before us. And so looking at the verses that we just read over, what do we see? Well, first of all, we see that a call has gone out. The call has gone out from the Lord himself. And so the old word ho, which is really listen. God is saying, listen, I want to tell you something. This is important. This is wonderful news. Listen. Everyone who thirsts. So he's calling out to those who are thirsty. And again, we see this all the way through Scripture. God is always appealing to those who are dissatisfied. Those who haven't found what they thought they were going to find. Those that are still on a quest. Those who are thirsting. So he asked the question, why are you spending your money on things that can never fulfill? He's speaking to those who have spent their money, their time, their resources trying to find fulfillment, satisfaction, and contentment, but instead, they're still restless. They're empty. There's still that sense that there's got to be something more. And this is just humanity in general, really, isn't it? It's amazing that we have yet to learn the lesson that nothing can fulfill the human heart except a relationship with God. It's amazing that we haven't learned the lesson because we see over and over again how those who attain to wealth, perhaps, or fame, or prestige, or the things that normally you would think are going to satisfy people, we find that it's just not the case. I read an interesting quote yesterday from Aristotle Onassis, and he simply said this. He said, you would think that millions and millions of dollars would satisfy a person, but they don't. He was a multi-millionaire. So from statements like that, and he's just one example of people who have said similar kinds of things over and over again, you would think that we would learn the lesson that these things can't fulfill. But this is, again, what God is appealing to. He's appealing to that sense of emptiness and that thirst that is there. And so the invitation, listen, and then he says, come to the waters. But then as we go on, the call is to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. As opposed to seeking all of these other things, as opposed to seeking the things that can't satisfy, the things that can't bring the fulfillment or peace. God is saying, no, seek me. Don't seek these things. These things, they can never bring you what you're looking for. Man, I wish, you know how it is with younger people. They're so hard to convince. Every time I speak to a group of, say, high schoolers or somebody around that age, I'm always trying to get them to understand, look, what you think you need or what you think is going to make you happy or fulfill you in life, it's not there. You need to seek the Lord now. You've got this amazing opportunity. And that's what God is saying to the people. Seek me. The problem with Israel was they tended to drift away from God and go after all of these other things. They tended to think that somehow these other things, the gods of these other nations, they would look enviously on at the other nations. And they would somehow think, oh, the Egyptians, they've got it better than we do. Or the Assyrians, they know better than we do. Or oh, if we could just have, but yet the reality was no. They didn't have it any better. They had it far worse. God is saying to them, seek me, seek the Lord. The word seek implies a searching after. You know, the idea is that you're putting forth an effort. There's a beautiful promise in Jeremiah chapter 29. You know that famous verse that most people who have been a Christian for a while are familiar with the 11th verse of Jeremiah 29. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then it goes on to say, and then you shall call upon me, and then you shall seek me, and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that's the idea here. Seek the Lord. Search for God with all your heart. You want to be filled. You want to be content. You want to be satisfied. Put it more simply, you want to be happy. You want to know what life is about. God says, seek me. Seek the Lord and then call upon him. So again, here, call upon him rather than the gods that they were calling upon. Israel was calling upon gods that couldn't save. They were calling upon gods that were not real gods. And over again throughout this great prophecy, the Lord points out the folly of the people in turning to idolatry. At one point in back in some of the earlier chapters, maybe you remember, as we're going through it, he's talking about idolatry. He says a person takes a block of wood, and part of it they throw in the fire to heat their food. The other, they fashion it into the image of a man. They bow down and worship it. And he says, they're not making the connection. It is a block of wood. And it's so true, even in our day and age. We tend to think that we've moved away from idolatry. That is something that the, you know, previous generations of people did because they weren't sophisticated enough. But we're not idolaters today. No way. We don't carve images out of blocks of wood and bow down to them. But we do. We just have a different set of idols. Behind every idol, there was an idea. So today, we are pursuing the same types of gods. We're thinking pleasure. We're thinking wealth. We're thinking power. We're thinking wisdom. We're thinking these are the things. These are the things. And we're calling upon them in a sense, in as much as we're trusting in them or hoping that through them, we're going to find what we're looking for. The Lord says, no, call upon me, seek the Lord, call upon the Lord. And then he calls for repentance. He calls for repentance. To repent means to turn. The word, the idea is to have a change of thinking, which results in a change of action, which results in a change of direction. So, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So you see, there's a turning away, going in the wrong direction, going after these things that can never satisfy. God is saying, repent, turn to me. The wicked forsaking his way, the unrighteous his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Now, the interesting thing to me here is, although this can certainly appeal to a person who's never known the Lord or a person who's never been in a relationship with him, the immediate context is this is an invitation for people who have wandered away from the Lord or have turned away from the Lord to come back. It's really the call to a backslider. But there's, I think, a distinction that can be made. In one sense, it's the backslider in heart, but then there's also the appeal to those who have actually backslidden. The backslider in heart is the person who's drifted away from the Lord, thinking that these other things are going to satisfy them. That's who he's talking about in the first couple of verses. Those who are trying to find fulfillment in other things. Why do you spend your wages for that which does not satisfy? And this happens to people. People who become Christians, people who get involved in the life of the church, people who begin to read the Bible and go to Bible study. But then something happens at a certain point where they start to think somehow that there's something more out there in the world that they need to pursue. They start to think somehow that, well, maybe there was something that I missed. Maybe if I would have just held out a little bit longer, that would have come through, and then I would have found that fulfillment. So what they do is they start to drift off more in their hearts initially, no longer satisfied by the Lord, no longer fulfilled in their relationship with God. They go out and they start dabbling in these other things. But they still go to church. They still read the Bible occasionally. They still say prayers before they have their meals. They still go through the motions, but their heart is disengaged. This is the person, on the one hand, that the Lord is saying, return. And this is, as I said, this is who he's talking about when he's saying, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you going after these things that can't satisfy? Don't you realize that there's nothing out there? Don't you realize that that can never meet the need in your life or fulfill the void? You know, it's true. People have put it in various ways, but it is true. In the heart of every human being, there is a God-shaped hole that nothing can fit in except God himself. And until that void is filled, nothing can satisfy. So he's saying, return. Return to the Lord, speaking to the wanderer, the backslider in heart. But then he speaks to the backslider who it's gone beyond the heart, to the person who's gone back out into sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous his thoughts. So he's talking about people who have fallen away from the Lord. You know, I have often thought that if all the backsliders in Orange County decided to come to church on one particular Sunday, you wouldn't have room in all the churches in the county. There are that many backslidden people. It's astounding. I meet people all the time who once were in church, who once were studying the Bible. I sometimes meet people who were once even, you know, leading Bible studies, going on missions trips. Occasionally, I meet people who were once in the ministry, preaching the gospel, teaching the word, but now they're engaged in a lifestyle of sin. They've backslidden. They've fallen away from the Lord. But here's the thing that we need to remember. God's heart for those people is not to cut them off and condemn them eternally. God's heart is to see them brought back. Thus, the invitation, this gracious invitation that is given. And so look at what the Lord says. First, there comes the call, but then, secondly, look at the promise. What is the promise? Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. You want to know God's heart for those that have drifted away, for those that have fallen away, for those that have rebelled and walked away? God's heart for them is a heart of mercy. He's inviting them back. He's calling them back. Again, as we study the relationship between God and Israel, we see this over and over again. These long centuries that God is pleading with the people over and over, come back, be restored, be reconciled. God will have mercy. What will he do? He will forgive. He will forgive. He will cancel that debt. Now, not only does he forgive, but notice what it goes on to say. Not only does he have mercy, but he will abundantly pardon. This is the thing that gets me. Whenever I think probably 99% of the time, whenever I've been in a situation, maybe counseling a backslidden person, this is the passage I take them to. Because look what it's saying. That God will have mercy, and even beyond that, he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Now, the picture here, I was traveling with a friend of mine last week, and we were doing a conference up in Montreal together. And he was teaching on the subject of grace. We did a couple of sessions on the grace of God. And he had this great illustration that I want to steal from him right now and share with you. But he was talking about, you know, not only are we forgiven, but we're justified, we're reconciled. And the way he illustrated it, he said, think of a person who's, you know, either served their time in prison or maybe they've been acquitted of the crime or something like that. And maybe you've seen this. I've seen some clips of this occasionally where somebody's released from prison and, you know, it shows them they're coming out the gates open, they walk out, the gates close behind them. And then it shows them just standing there sort of, okay, you know, I'm free, but where do I go from here? And we know that for many people, they end up right back in prison because they don't really have anywhere to go and they usually go out and get in trouble again. But he's using this as an illustration to talk about the person that God forgives. So here's the person that God forgives. He comes out of the prison. He's standing there. But here's the difference. As he's standing there, a limousine pulls up and the doors open and they say, come on, get in. You're going now to your new home. And we've got a place for you, and we've got a job for you. We've got a position for you. And actually, you've been adopted into this family. And there's a wonderful head over this family who's got all kinds of great intentions for you. And this is the biblical picture of what God does. He doesn't simply forgive us and say, okay, yep, I'll forget that. I'll wipe that out. But you better make sure you never mess up again. He doesn't do that only. He does forgive us, but then he lavishes his love upon us. He reconciles us. He brings us into the family, and then he begins a work of restoration in our lives. And that's what's being described in the passage here. There is an abundant pardon. You're given a place in the family. And then notice what proceeds from that is blessing and satisfaction. Look at verse 2. Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. So you see, what God's describing here is forgiveness, an abundant pardon, and future blessing. It's a truly amazing offer. The question is it for real? I mean, it sounds too good to be true in some ways, doesn't it? Because after all, we tend to think that because of what we've done, or maybe we're looking at somebody else, because of what they've done, there is no reconciliation. Sinners, backsliders, tend to think, with the help of the devil, no doubt, they tend to think that there's no way back, that there's no mercy available, that there's no restoration possible. I've had many people say to me over the years, well, you know, the problem is, as they think about coming back to the Lord and receiving his mercy, they think, well, you know, I don't think I can because I knew what I was doing. I've met people that have expressed a desire, I want to come back to the Lord, but I just don't think he'll accept me. So this is the way we think. The Lord interjects and says, no, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Call to Return, and the resource number is OBB547. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.